I was thinking how true that is. We are so prone to forget. That word remember is oftentimes in the Word of God. And I have found that He's the one that can help us to remember. The other day I did this again. I'd lost something. Oh, I know what it was. I couldn't find a key. In my possession, I only have about 30 keys, I think. They go to different doors and what have you. Most of them, I have no idea which door goes with what one. Because I don't do that. Anyways, I had this key and I thought, I wonder where it is. And my prayer normally when I can't find something is, Lord, I don't know where it is, but You do. If God knows every sparrow that falls from the air, He, I think, knows where everything is. And I said, Lord, would You guide me to it? Oftentimes after I pray that, almost every time, within 10 minutes, I find it. Maybe I should say God shows it to me. And a lot of times the Lord just helps me trail it back, whatever it might be. And nothing was working, it seemed like. And it was a vehicle key. So I stuck my hand in my pocket. I found it. All I could say is, thank You, Lord. And how we need to remind of the great, wonderful things of God. I'm not sure how to do this morning, because there's really a couple of things on my heart. I think maybe they go together, but I'm not sure. Turn to the book of Revelation, by the way. Book of Revelation, chapter number 3. The only book of the Bible that tells us that if we read it, He will bless it. Doesn't say if you understand it, because there's a lot of things very hard to understand in the book of Revelation. This morning I took time to read the entire 22 chapters, and the thing that amazed me today was how it starts out in the very first chapter to describe the beauty of our Lord, and in the very last chapter we get to be with Him. And there's a lot that transpires in between, but if you know Him, you will see His beauty. You will behold it by faith now, but you will see it one day. And those days we're in, when we leave this planet of ours, we go into the presence of Almighty God. What a blessed, wonderful thought. I will be there in a moment. One of the things that, can I just give you my heart? God has called me to pastor. I have enjoyed that for 44 years. I do not know how much time God has for me left. I'm kind of thinking till the rapture, because I think it was last week and we all missed it. But don't worry, it'll come again next year. The group that promotes this has been doing it for several years. It's a round-robin revelation. Anyways, as a pastor, some things are different than if you're an evangelist. And God calls men to both spots. I thank the Lord for those who've come in the field of evangelism. God has laid souls upon their heart in a way that I don't know has ever happened to any of the rest of us. And their whole life is preaching and teaching and seeking to reach somebody for Christ. And I thank God for them. I know two young men that now one's pastor. That's Brother Chavez. The other is now a missionary, that's Brother Phil Prettyman, that have had a tremendous heart for evangelism. The first one I ever got to know had been a pastor previously, and God gave him that heart. That was Brother Bob Bear. A few of you might remember Brother Bob. But a desire and an ability to reach people for Christ. But not only that, to spur God's people to do the same. A pastor is a little bit different calling. First of all, pastors to do the work of an evangelist. In other words, I and you, we all have a responsibility to seek to reach people for Jesus. But I find there's something else, whether it's more or less, is not for me to determine. But that is, as a pastor, you have a heart to see people grow in Christ. And so there's a matter of, some people call it discipleship. Some people don't believe you disciple somebody unless you've got a book of discipleship in your hands. But do you understand that every Sunday you walk into this place, Sunday school, morning service, evening service, Wednesday night, it's a time of discipleship. It's a time whereby we take the Word of God and show you some things that you might learn, that you might better understand the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might know God a little bit more intimately than when you came in. And that's a tremendous desire that's in my heart. And so when you stand in this pulpit, you cannot preach a salvation message every time. Matter of fact, you look around and most of the people in this room are saved. And they need to hear something that's going to be a blessing and a help in their lives. How many need encouragement from time to time? Yeah. I love encouraging people. I love folks who make me see things in a different light. They excite my soul. Praise God for some that are very good at that. But folks need encouragement when they come to a church service. Folks need enlightened. They need to have the Word of God opened. They might see some truth. They need that education for their soul. And so you seek to do those things as well. And by and large, for a pastor, he's going to be taken up with a lot of those kinds of duties. Sometimes they're not exciting, sometimes they are. A lot of times it's what you make of it, but what a wonderful privilege. And so I thank the Lord for that. This morning, we're going to look in Revelation 3, and I want us to talk about something. No, you just sit there and listen, I'll do the talking. I want to preach to you on the subject of open door. I realize that our church name is Open Door Baptist Church. There's a reason for that. And honestly, it comes out of these verses. But there's an open door of opportunity. Do you understand this morning that God gives us great opportunities, and most of the time we squander them? He puts people in our lives, and many times it's people who are weird. Do you know what a weird person is? Anybody but you. Isn't that true? Yeah, you're looking at a weird guy, but I don't think so. But we look at people and we look at people and we think, man, they are weird. And we get some negative thoughts. We think, man, they are this or that or the other thing. And we don't see a soul as God sees a soul. Put that with Sunday school lesson on perspective. But what we need to understand is that every individual, they need some help. And they need build up. They need that edification. They need to be taught things. And praise the Lord, we have that privilege as a church. I take that very, very seriously. It might not sound like it sometimes when I give my corny jokes, but some of you need a corny joke once in a while because you're not listening otherwise. By the way, take out a half sheet of paper, number it from 1 to 10. That's your test paper today. Put some answers on there. I see one person reaching in their Bible for a piece of paper. I'm impressed. Chapter number 3. I was somewhat kidding about that. Go down with me to verse number 7, book of Revelation, chapter number 3 and verse number 7. In chapters 2 and 3, we find that there are 7 separate letters that are written. For the purpose of the book of Revelation, they're all compiled together. They run one with another. There are many things that are said about these 7 churches. You will find that most who have stood in this pulpit will say to you that we are living in the Laodicean age, and we just came out of this Philadelphia age. They will tell you that these 7 letters represent 7 different ages of Christianity. I personally do not accept that theory. I have 2 reasons for that. Number one, and I may make you upset with this, you have to recognize the Roman Catholic Church as a true church in order to accept that teaching. I do not. Anything that teaches that we get to heaven by our works is not a true church. Anything that's going to deny Jesus Christ some of his power and give it to another is not a true church. So number one, I can't do it because of that. If you've ever read some of the histories that people do concerning these 7 ages, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Secondly, my Bible tells me, and that's why I knew last week we probably wouldn't have the rapture, but I was hoping maybe they were right. And that is that God tells us that no man knows the day or the hour. You see, God wants us to understand that his return is imminent. That means at any time. And so Christians all through the ages, what God wants them or has wanted them is to recognize that Jesus is coming and be ready. And that's what he desires of us, just like those who were in the 1840s and the 1630s and the 923. God wants us to realize that. It's not a matter of us setting dates. And so when we look at this, we see what I believe is 7 letters to 7 different churches to teach them about themselves. Now we could make application with that. We could look at these and we can say, hey, listen, this is something that's true about us. If it's something that is wrong, then it's for the purpose of us repenting and change. If it's something that is good, it's for the purpose of encouraging us to keep on keeping on. And basically, that's what the epistles throughout the Word of God are about. I guess the question is, most of us can say, I'm pretty glad when I get my back patted, but I'm not too thrilled when I get my hiney kicked. But are you willing to allow when God does the kicking to move you? Big question we have. So let's look at this and read and talk about the door of opportunity. Chapter number 3, verse number 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, I got to put a time out there because many people believe that the angel of these churches is referring to the pastor. I love those people. There's reasons for their belief. But by the way, who is the responsible person before God? To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, Behold, I have set before thee and what? An open door. And no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make of them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they're Jews and are not, but do lie. And behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you for your marvelous word. Thank you, O God, that we can come to the house of God and allow you to speak to our hearts. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. If we were to be like any church that's mentioned in chapters 2 and 3, it would be my desire that it would be this one. That this church at Philadelphia would be our example. The church at Smyrna never had any negative remarks by our Lord, but neither did it have the opportunities placed before it as this church. It is from verse number 8 that I would say to you, we get our name as a church, open door. And just a symbol of brotherly love in the meaning of the name Philadelphia. But a door of opportunity to take the gospel into the entire world. That is our privilege. That's the opportunity. You ever thought, would you turn around in that board I mentioned a while ago in the back of the hundreds of people that those men and women are reaching for Christ that you'll never meet this side of heaven? Some of you this summer out at camp got to meet one, to hear him speak, and to find out the work that he's done for the last, 30 years? What a privilege. I've had the opportunity to sit in a church building on several occasions in Costa Rica and listen to Pastor Marcos. Haven't understood anything he said, but I can see the tensity in his heart as he preaches to his people there. A man that was won to Christ by Brother Ron Todd and nurtured in a church that came out of that. And by the way, now that church is multiplying itself. As I believe in the last 2 or 3 years, they have seen 2 or 3 others begin. What a great opportunity we have. When you and I as God's people have the proper worldview, we can begin to see opportunities, not obstacles. Oftentimes when a pastor wants to do something, rather than people seeing the opportunity, they see the obstacle. And they miss the opportunity that is there. I've seen pastors try to lead their church in a certain direction and people wouldn't go. Matter of fact, instead of being excited, they became complainative and obstinate. And God wrote Ichabod over the church. The Bible scholar John Phillips, he described the Philadelphian church as a revival church. He said this: evangelical revival because they caught a worldwide vision. An ecclesiastical revival because they dealt with those who would have brought a deadening and disruptive influence into the church. An eschatological revival because the truth of the second coming was as a beacon of light. The Lord's message brings no blame but blessing. Not the threat of vengeance, but the proposal of a fresh vision. Three times in this chapter, we find the word behold. Verse 8, 9, and 11. Three times he's saying to us, you need to take a very special look at this. Notice verse number 8 with me. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and has not denied my name. He is the authority behind the open door. The Lord Jesus Christ is completely flawless and absolutely unblemished. In verse number 7, and if you notice right after the word Philadelphia, he says, write, these things saith he that is what? Holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. He is the one that can set the opportunities before us. He's even greater than David, as now he holds the key. The door of opportunity is opened and closed by him. God has given us a door of salvation. Aren't you thankful? Yeah, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I realize that's really about Christians, but we're going to make application. And so God gives us a door of salvation. And if you and I are willing to step through that threshold, God will save our soul. If we're willing to step out of the darkness into the light, out of the horrible storms of life, into that which God has for us, if by faith we will do that, God gives unto us salvation. There's a door of service. There is so much we can do for the Lord. When God gives us a local church, we find that there are many things that we can do in that service. When a church has its own buildings and so forth, there's all of those extra responsibilities. But they are areas of service. Do you know that the guy that changes the light bulb is just as important as the guy who holds the Word of God and reads to his class? Because in a darkened room, you're not going to read very well. Isn't that true? And so we find that there's a door of service that is available. There are things that you can do. The problem is we don't see the door of opportunity. There's a door of the Scriptures as God wants to open our hearts and our minds to his way into his world. We find from the Word of God, Lord, give me the eyes to see and the grace to seize every opportunity for thee. Excuse me, that's a quote, but not from the Word. He was aware of their weakness. Probably they were weak in the fact that there were few of them. But he also knew their willingness. It is to these he manifests his strength, and then he gets the glory. When you and I are willing to take the opportunities, God will strengthen us to do it. When you and I are willing to step out and say, hey, I have no idea how to do this, but I can let God show me. You know, the average church misses their opportunities because of the unwillingness of God's people. They're willing for everybody else to do it, but not themselves, and hurt the cause of Christ. But the Bible says, when I'm weak, then am I. I'm strong. I find it interesting, 1 Corinthians 1:26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh and many mighty and many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Let me ask you, do you qualify? And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Again, I ask the question, do you qualify? And hath and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. And yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Do we qualify? That no flesh should glory in his presence. when we recognize our failings, when we recognize that in ourselves we have not the ability, but God, you do. And so I'm going to give it myself unto you and allow you to work through me. When it's all said and done, we're not worried about getting adulation. We're not worried about who did what. We're thankful to the Lord God who is willing to use us for his glory. What a blessed day. In a day when we believe that success is having a mega church, I find it very interesting that God commends what I believe was a little church here as far as numbers. And he's interested in their biblical fidelity. No compromise, no departure, no apostasy. God wants a people with genuine faith and people who remain faithful. He is that authority behind the door. But not only is he that authority, he's a protector. Notice verse number 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Without great explanation, here were those that were against this church. There was hostility from the pagan, secular world. But because these Jews had turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, many of them Jews in these churches, we find that they were now described as being against God, when in fact God says those in that spot are Satan's synagogue. We have a lot of obstacles out there, but God will protect us in all these different things. God places an open door before us, opportunities. I was amazed over and over in the last 6 months. I didn't have to go anywhere. People were coming to me. And because my case had been so severe, I think they thought that if they talked to me for 5 minutes, they might be the last person ever to talk to me. But I used the opportunity was there. In many, many cases, I wish I could say all. God places them there. People that come into our lives, everywhere you go and everybody you meet, especially certain circumstances, there's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. I was in the old Creighton Hospital when it was new, and the place was kind of confusing, but I found the elevator I wanted. I punched the button, I get on the elevator, and there's about 5 people in there. And have you ever looked at people's faces in the elevator? They're afraid to look, they're afraid to talk. And so I got on and I said, let's hug. That's not my nature, as you well know. But I also found it wasn't their nature either. We just never know the simplest little things, how people respond. But if we'll do that with Christ in mind, wow, the opportunities are there. Your FedEx, UPS guy, your waitress or waiter. I mean, these are opportunities. People who check you out. Those you bump into on the street, hopefully not in an accident. But we find their opportunities. I like to use the term divine appointments. God set it up. But you know what we do? We don't take advantage. He sets before us the open door. He will take care of us as we are willing to go through that door. If you notice verse number 11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, and no man take thy crown. It is his coming. This is our great hope for those at the open door. He becomes the object of our devotion. Don't give up now and lose your crown. Keep on keeping on for Christ. We have an eternal place of honor in the house of God. He talks about the pillar in the temple of God. A pillar represented permanence and honor. Something known in Philadelphia as pillars would be raised in the pagan temples to honor someone. And so he's saying, hey, listen, you'll be a pillar in the house of God. He also says, I will mark you with three identities. I'll make sure that people know who you are. Just like the cowboy of old would take the rope and find the cow, bring it over close to the fire and take the branding iron and get it very, very hot and sear into the hide of that cow, who would bawl and scream for a few moments and run off. God places upon us his name. They were first called Christians at Antioch. It says the name of the New Jerusalem, wherein is the synagogue of God. He stamps us not only with his person, but our destination. And what's interesting to me, and I wish I understood why, but he talks about the new name of God. In other words, something that's revealed to us that's not to the rest of the world. We have opportunities. They're marvelous. I tried to get across to our students the other day in our chapel time. You have tremendous opportunity in these days. You could take it or you can squander it. You can use it or abuse it. But there's opportunities there. Many people I have found in the labor force have opportunities laid before them. But because of a bitter attitude and complaintiveness, not seeing things through the eyes of God, they lose out on the opportunity. The promotion does not come. They get overlooked, not realizing that maybe they had something greater than that awaiting them. Take the opportunity. It's amazing if we look. It's amazing. The other day I went to the doctor. It was my heart doctor. I found out that day that there's 353,000 people in City of Council Bluffs that have handicap stickers. The nearest parking space, I was at Mercy Hospital, was clear down to the end. Walking uphill, well, the distance was more than I wanted to do, but walking uphill was even worse. So I drove around to the other side of the building, to the south side, and I found a spot that was about three or four parking places down. A little bit steeper for a few feet. A few stairs to climb, which don't really bother me. But then I had to walk down this big, long hallway and go downstairs, see my doctor. And I left. When we come out of the doctor's office, it is pouring rain. Guess what I didn't bring? I didn't even have a piece of paper. And so I get upstairs and I walk down this long hallway. Another one of my doctor's offices there. I didn't even look in the door. But I walk past that. And I'm thinking to myself, I'll just get to this little lobby out here. And there's one of those small heaters there. And having noticed it in times past, I thought, I can sit on that thing and wait for the rain. I'd been there about 3 minutes when a nurse came barreling through the door. Her name is Christina, and she works for my general practitioner, who's Dr. Solaria. And she saw me sitting there, and she says, oh, good. She says, I came to check on you. She came to check on me. and stuck her head back in the door and went back. So I told her I was just waiting. It wasn't but 30 seconds later, she sticks her head back through the door, and this time she's got on a hooded sweatshirt. And says, if you'll let me have your keys, I'll go get your car. You know, there's some good things that happen when you carry a cane. They sell them at Walgreens. She saw a need. And she not only took the opportunity, she kind of made it. And so through the rain, she runs to my car. And she pulls it up. I had to walk outside and down a ramp, but that wasn't too bad to go the whole distance. And to get in, she was pretty well sopped by the time that was all done. She made an impression on me that day. I hope to turn that around when I see her next, because she'll remember it. And I can say to her, you took an opportunity. Now I want to give you an opportunity. There's open doors if we're willing to turn the handle. Are you looking or squandering the opportunities? Father, today, help us to see these things. Help us to see that there are literally scores of people who would listen to us about the gospel if we'd open our mouths. They would know that we really do care about them if we would show them compassion in simple acts, in the way we conduct ourselves. Lord, I pray that we might realize that there are literally scores of Christians we know who are discouraged and distraught and need somebody to see that and to encourage. Maybe if nothing more than to put our arm around them and say we love them. For then, Lord, we've got two people looking for opportunities. I pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds to these things. Bless in these moments, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.